Joe?
Satan.
Satan. He's an angel. Now, this world was not made for angels. This world was made for men. By the way, you think you're going to live in heaven forever? Well, you'll live in the heavenly city, but that's coming down to earth. And if you're saved, you will be living and reigning over a redeemed earth, because man was made for the earth. You see? But God's throne is going to come down from the third heaven right down to hover over the earth in the New Jerusalem, over the Old Jerusalem, and it will be there in the kingdom of God. And you're made to reign over the future earth. Satan, no. But he is ruling now over this present evil world, and that's why it's such a mess and why it's so wicked, because Satan is in control. And John wept because didn't see a man that could get it back, but there was a man. Now, that man in Revelation 5 was called, he's not only the Lamb, but what was he called in Revelation 5? He's called by a name. Does anybody know what that name is? Raise your hand if you know. All right, nobody knows? He was called by this name. You're going to be sorry. Eddie? Good. He's from the tribe of Judah. Why is that important? Because God says that the man that will rule the world will be born of a woman, Genesis 3. He will be born of the Hebrew race, Genesis. He will be born of the Israelite nation, again, Genesis chapter 12 and so forth. And then it says that he will be born of the tribe of Judah. I believe that's Genesis 49. And he is called the Lion. Listen, he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he's not only a lamb, but he's a lion. And he came the first time to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But when he comes the second time, he's not going to shed his blood anymore. That's done. He already paid for salvation with his blood. Whose blood's he going to shed? His enemies. And a lion will rend you. I would not want to face a hungry lion. You're no match. You're no match. And you're no match for Jesus. If you're not on his side, and you haven't accepted him as your Savior, you will face him as a lion, and you will be sorry. And so when he comes back again, he's going to touch down. He will come back here in the second half, the three and a half of the 7 years, to rapture the bride. Then he'll pour out his wrath. At the end of his wrath, he's going to touch down, boots on the ground. It's going to be aerial wrath, first of all. Boom, boom, boom. He'll hit it. And then after he softens it up, he's going to be boots on the ground. And guess who the boots are? Him. And he's going to land in Jordan, modern day Jordan. He's going to march and go up on Mount Sinai. He's going to go up on the holy mountains and flatten them. And he's going to march north and east to Jerusalem and cross the Jordan River. And when he does that, he's going to be shedding blood all the way. All those that follow the beast, he's going to shed their blood. And nobody will stand up to him. You see? And so he's coming back as the lion. Remember, the book of Revelation means to make bare naked. It's the burlesque show. It's Jesus uncovering himself as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he came the first time, they didn't recognize his glory. When he comes the second time, his glory will be all across the sky. All right, but we've got to get, before he comes back, we've got to enter what's called the last 7 years before his thousand-year kingdom. And we're getting closer and closer to that. In fact, every day we're getting closer. And so you need to get ready. You need to get ready for the showdown that's going to rock the world. And you need to get ready for it. And I suggest you come to this class. Don't miss, because this is a survival guide for the end times, this class. And it's also something you can use to witness and lead people to Jesus Christ. Because people, the more and more they see things happening, the more and more they're going to see their need to get saved if you tell them. And so we come into this time called the beginning of sorrows, then comes the great tribulation, and then comes the day of the Lord. So the 7 years are divided into three parts. Now, we looked at Revelation 6, and we said the best scripture or chapter in the Bible that goes with Revelation 6 is what chapter? Yes, Rose? Matthew 24. So the key to Revelation 6 is Matthew 24. And this unlocks our understanding of the end times. Yes. Yes, he was on the Mount of Olives. So you got that there. And if you look at this, let's go to Revelation 6 and realize now that every time he opens a seal, it describes something that's going to happen. So first of all, let me ask you a question. What is this scroll that nobody was worthy to take it and open the seals and to unlock what's written in it? Diane? Yes, correct. So this scroll that is in heaven right there at the beginning of the 7 years has to do with the day of the Lord's wrath. And it is specifically when we say day of the Lord's wrath, you see, God has not judged this world yet, but he's gonna. Now, the closest thing you could say to the day of the Lord's wrath in the Old Testament where God did a universal judgment on the world was what event? Quickly. Yes, Diane. The flood of Noah. It was a universal flood. And God destroyed the world with water, only saved 8 people out of probably billions of people. I think right now we have 9 billion. There were a lot of people because there were long life back then. And so God is going to destroy the world this time by fire. But he's going to do it in one judgment after the other of fire that's going to hit this world. And so this scroll contains the wrath of God in the 7 trumpet judgments. Now, there are going to be 7 vial or bowl judgments after this, and it's a little scroll. But the big scroll of God's wrath is the trumpet. So this scroll, listen, contains all of the trumpet judgments, which will begin right after the rapture, right toward the somewhere in the second 3.5 years, and it will go to the end of the 7 years and 30 days beyond that into the bowl judgments. And so I've heard it said that, but I don't know. I don't know if it really is. That's a bunch of...
You said the scroll actually kicks in at the last the day of the Lord.
Yes, the scroll is actually the wrath of God that will be needed to be poured out to help to reclaim the world back and kick the devil out. Let me give you an illustration. I'm a landlord. Let's say I want to kick somebody out because they're just a bad tenant. They're just really bad. They're drinking, they're throwing their booze, they're fornicating, they're just destroying property. They're not paying anything. Just a wretches, you know? And you want to throw them out. And so you go and you get an eviction, you give them an eviction notice, you go to the magistrate, you go through that whole process. I've had to do it, you know? You go through the whole process. And finally, they won't go. They squatting there. That's what the devil is doing. He's going to be squatting. And God's saying, get out. Get out of this world. Jesus is coming back and he's ready to rule this world. Get out. The devil's saying, I ain't getting out. I'm going to get the whole world to follow me. So God's giving him an eviction notice and he won't go. So what do they send if the guy won't get out of there when they go through the allotted time? There's a certain allotted time you have to go through. What do they do? They send the sheriff. And the sheriff comes and he literally takes them out of there. And they have to go then by force and takes their stuff out. This is what we're talking about. See, Satan don't want to leave, but he's already been defeated. When the Lamb died, he purchased not only us, but he purchased the world back to himself. And so he's coming back, like it or not, devil. And he's going to kick you out of here. And he's going to kick out everyone that's a follower of Satan. And so this is what is coming down the road here. And so what we see here is the Lord is announcing in Revelation 6 what it's going to take to get this wrath going. And it starts at the beginning of the last 7 years and goes to the middle of it and then down to the end, because we don't know the day or the hour of his coming, but we know it's within the last 3.5 years based on Bible prophecy. So let's go back now and look at the scrolls we already opened, or the seals. let's go and look at Revelation 6. It says that I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, we already broke this seal. Now, these seven seals, here's the wrath of God. You have to open all seven before we can open this up and read it. We will do that in this class. We'll open all seven. We only opened two last week, but we're going to open all seven. But I got to ask the question now. What are these seals? If the scroll is the wrath of God, Diane knows. What are these seals? Anybody else know? Okay, Cynthia says she knows. Anybody else? All right, Cherry says she knows. So let's go with Cherry.
Lucky me.
Aren't you glad you raised your hand, Cherry? All right, what are these seals, Cherry? You know?
The wrath of God.
The wrath of God. No, the wrath of God is what's inside the book. What are the seals, Jose?
Different judgments.
What?
Different judgments that are going to come.
Well, I want to call them judgments because the wrath of God are judgments, you know. So we're not going to call them judgments. Anybody know what they are? Eddie?
You call them the birth pain. Either the events that's supposed to happen.
He got it. He nailed it. Good, Eddie. He nailed it. All right. These are prior events that are prophesied that must happen before the wrath of God. And with each event happening, you know we're in the last 7 years, and you know we're getting closer to the rapture and then the wrath of God. So don't think that the rapture is an any moment signless event. That is a lie. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 4, let no man what? Deceive you. People will try to deceive you. No, it is something that Jesus has testified to. He has prophesied. And Revelation, you've got it again. It is going to be, it's going to be preceded by signs. And there are specific prior events before God pours out his wrath that each one of these seals represent. Now, keep in mind, Jesus is the one that is worthy to take this scroll and pour out the wrath. Jesus is also the one that's opening the seal. So every seal, he opens it. Now, you say, well, how could Jesus be responsible for some of the things that are going to happen? Aren't they judgments? Well, actually, this is Satan's doing. All of this, and then this is God responding with his wrath. But you say, Satan, well then how come Jesus is opening the seals if it's Satan? Well, it's very simple. Jesus is allowing Satan to do it. And he's using Satan's wickedness to accomplish his purpose, which is to get ready to pour out his wrath and take over the world. So he's given him his last hurrah. You say, where is that in the Bible? How about Job? Anything that Satan wanted to do to Job, he had to get permission from the Lord. So this is what we see here in heaven. Even though this is going on in the earth, the Lord is in control of it all. And so the first seal that's broken, it says, and let's look at this, that there's a white horse, and we already looked at this last week, so I won't be long, but a guy had a bow on the white horse, no arrow, and he's coming to take over the world. Now, if you go to Matthew 24 and look at verse 4 and verse 5, who is this? What is this white horse? Diane? And by the way, somebody go to Matthew 24 and keep that in mind if we want to look at. Yeah, Diane's absolutely right. It's the Antichrist. Now, I don't believe like most people believe. There are two beasts in Revelation 13. One is out of the earth and one is out of the sea. The one out of the sea is a non-Jew. He's a Gentile. He's the world ruler. The Antichrist is an apostate Jew. That's why he's called Christ. Christ comes from the Jewish nation. He's the Antichrist. That means he's against the real Christ, and he also replaces the real Christ. He comes in his own name, of Jesus said in John 10. He's the false Christ. He's a prophet, a false prophet. He's called a false prophet. And there's only one time the word Antichrist is used, and people use it, Antichrist, Antichrist. It's always beast or some other thing, Roman prince. Only one time in 1 John that the word Antichrist is used. In only one verse when it speaks of the Antichrist. Now, if you look at Matthew 24, you see that there are many that Jesus said will come in my name. But I don't believe this is talking about a bunch of false Christs. They're representatives of the one false Christ or the Antichrist. And they're going to come first to the Jew. Because everything is first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. They're going to come first to the Jew, and they're going to say, you need to accept your Christ because he is going to really help Israel. And what is this false Christ going to do? He's going to lead them to make a covenant of death. This is in, if you want to write it down, Isaiah 28, verse 15 and 18. He's going to make a covenant of death. And what will that be? That will be the nation of Israel will sign away their sovereignty. After God has defeated their enemies and blessed them, they will sign away their sovereignty. And they're going to join with what union? What union of nations today? We know this union. Yes.
European Union.
European Union. And just like when Jesus came the first time, Europe, through Rome, had Egypt under its power, Israel under its power, Syria under its power. So it was a Euro-Mediterranean empire. So the revived Roman Empire that Daniel prophesied will be European Union, and Israel will sign over their sovereignty. So will Egypt, and so will Syria. But this Jewish Antichrist will lead the nation to do that. How foolish. And that's called a covenant with death. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, that is called something as well. Somebody go there, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, if you have an old King James Bible. And you can read the first part of that, and I'll share that with the class. But anyway, he's going to make that covenant with the Jewish nation. And they're going to sign away their sovereignty. Now, he's also going to do something else as part of that covenant. He's going to, according to Daniel 9, 24 through 27, he's going to confirm an already existing covenant. Does anybody know, as a sweetener, as a carrot to get Israel to sign away their sovereignty, what he's going to offer them as far as, you know, an existing covenant that he's going to confirm? Cherry, I'll give you another chance. No, you didn't get it. Joe?
I'm going to say that he's going to allow the Israel nation to do their sacrifices.
Yes, he got it. Yes. What?
Is he going to rebuild the
temple? I don't know. Here's the deal. It could be right then he will rebuild the temple. Or it could be maybe just before that the Jews will rebuild their temple, but now they're going to want to be able to legally offer their sacrifices because the Arabs won't like it, PETA won't like it, a lot of people won't like it. So it's either he's going to rebuild their temple right then and there, or it's already built and he's going to say, for 7 years, if you join my kingdom and you become part of the European Union, I will make sure that nobody messes with you. You'll be able to offer your sacrifices. And so that is going to be right at the beginning, and he's going to confirm the Mosaic Covenant. So under the imprimatur of Roman law or European Union law, he will be allowed the Jews to practice their Mosaic sacrifices in the rebuilt temple on the Temple Mount. So yes, one of the great super signs of the end is not only rebuilding Israel as a nation, which has already happened, 1948, May 14, but it is the temple being rebuilt. When you see that, the hair on your head ought to stand up because we're either right at the beginning or we're in it. But you see, that's going to take a lot of people. So that the Antichrist then, it's the great time for him to arise and deceive people. And the devil knows this, so he's getting them already. And so he'll get them to sign that, and then you have the Gentile leader who is called in Daniel 9 the Roman prince. And the Roman prince is going to be the one that this is the Jewish Antichrist, is going to lead the Jewish people first, then the whole world eventually will be under the Roman prince. Now, not at the beginning of sorrows will the world be under the Roman prince. When will the whole world unite under the Roman prince and be under the beast that comes out of the Mediterranean nations? Yep.
The Great Tribulation?
Correct. You got it, Cherry. Keep at it. She didn't quit. All right. The Great Tribulation, which is right in the middle of the 70th week, when the image or the hologram or whatever it is of this Roman leader, this European Union leader, is put up in the Holy of Holies in that temple in Jerusalem. And we'll talk about that. But that is the first seal when the Jewish Antichrist deceives the nation. Then we broke the second seal. So remember, he's doing it by peace at first. He's got military strength. So if anybody messes with Israel or any nation that joins them, he's got the military power. So right now, the enforcer for the Western globalists militarily is the United States. But during this time, it will be the European Union. What's going to happen in the United States? We don't know. All right. Now, we have the next one is broken. So let's look at that. And it says in verse 3 of Revelation 6, "And when he'd opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' There went another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that they should kill one another, and there was given him a great sword." Now, I see a great sword. So if you look at Matthew 24, it says that nation is going to rise against nation, first of all. Now, by the way, how did the first great war start? The first great war started with the assassination by Princeps, a guy by the name of Gavrilo Princeps, of an Austro-Hungarian king or prince. He assassinated him in Sarajevo or wherever that was in Eastern Europe. And then what happened? All these nations that backed Austria were on one side, like Germany and other nations, because they were in covenant with them or treaty with them. Then Russia and Britain and all these guys were in. So it started a great war. And that's what they called it, the Great War. What do we call it now? World War I. It was called the Great War because there had been no world wars before that. So they just called it the Great War. Then after it was over, then they had World War II, so that they call that World War I. Now, this says a great sword. So I take it it's going to develop into World War III of some sort. And although death and destruction will only be limited to one-fourth of the world's surface, one-fourth of the world's surface. So God's going to limit it. So it's got to be limited because we know with nuclear war all out, everything would be destroyed. So God's going to limit it. But here's the question. All right, you've got this European Union. They don't have world domination yet, but they want it. The Western globalists have been wanting this forever, and they're working on it right now. So what starts this war? One nation and then another nation. Well, if you go to Daniel 11, don't go there right now, but you can look it up later. Daniel 11 verses, and I would suggest you take Daniel 11, do verses 40 through 45. Daniel 11, 40 through 45, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. So what starts this war is religion. Religion. What do you think might cause the revived Roman Empire in the Middle East to start fighting amongst themselves and start a civil war right in the empire of the Roman prince? What would start that? What we just said, the Jewish sacrifices. The Islamic people in Egypt and in Syria are going to see that, and they're going to be like, we can't take this. And they're going to attack. First of all, Egypt will arise, and then Syria will arise. And the Bible says when Syria rises, there's going to be a whole bunch of armaments. It might even involve Turkey above Syria coming down. It's called the King of the North. We know that's Syria, but I think they're backed by a lot more. And they're going to come down. And they're going to attack Israel. Now, what's going to happen? Well, somebody take your Bible and get me John 10, 12 through 13. If you can read that when I ask you. John 10, 12 through 13. But what's going to happen when that happens? Well, you see, who is over the Jewish nation at that time? The Antichrist, the Jewish Antichrist. And what did Jesus say in John 10, 12 and 13? Well, does anybody have it? John 10, 12 and 13, that they could read it for me? Raise your hand if you got it. I need help here. Nobody's got it? Come on, let's get it. Need somebody to get it that can read it. John 10, 12 and 13. All right, what's going to happen is the question when this Jewish Antichrist sees now that Syria is attacking, Egypt is attacking, the eastern flank of the European Union. He's a coward. He knows that that's going to bring who into the region to defend his empire? Well, that's going to bring the Roman prince in there, who's going to be the world leader eventually. And he's afraid of that. So he wants to kiss up to him and be friends with him. So he runs away from the action. He flees from the action in Israel. He goes to Europe and he kisses up to the Roman prince, the European leader, and he says, I'll take an army and direct them into the Middle East. And so he does that. He directs them into the Middle East so that they can defend the empire. I'm sure, you know, when he has that big army, he's fine. All right, you have it, Diane? Yes, ma'am. All right, that's talking about the Jewish Antichrist. That's a prophecy in John 10, 12, and 13. Jesus is talking about Jewish Antichrist. And Daniel talks about it too. I've studied Daniel extensively. And he flees and goes to the west and gets this big army from the wolf. The big dog is the wolf. And he leads that army back in. Probably doesn't lead it. Probably they lead it. And he's back, you know, where it's comfortable. And they go in and take over Syria, take over Egypt, take over Israel, and end this conflict by the power of their arms, and this precipitates this great war. Now, if you go to Daniel 11, you don't have to do it now, the verses I gave you, 40 and following, you will see that when they go over there, they are going to put down this religious conflict, and they're going to take care of it. But when he gets to Jerusalem, the wolf, you know, his armies, when the armies of the wolf get to Jerusalem under the Jewish Antichrist, when that happens, he's going to hear tidings out of the north and out of the east, and it's going to trouble him. Well, who might that be? I say that's Russia. Out of the north and out of the east is China. Because see, even now the globalists love the red Chinese. They want the global system to be red Chinese communist. But at the same time, the red Chinese don't always do everything they want. And so there's this conflict. And it's still going on then. And so they hear these tidings. And what does the beast do? He grabs power. And I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he gets the Chinese to go under and how he gets the Russians to go under. But he does. The Western globalist. And so, and that's with the corporations and everything. And so that's what happens there. Now, when all of that happens, that comes out of this red horse of war. And part of what he is going to do is to grab power worldwide through this great war. All right? Now, what's that going to create? And this is in Matthew 24. We know in Matthew 24, Jesus talks about what? Earthquakes? Pestilence? He talks about famine. So the first thing you're going to see is famine. And the price of one meal at home, not at a restaurant, will be about $150 during this time, just to have one little meal, and it's not a big meal. So you've got what? Famine and what else? Inflation. Inflation. That's what happens. And this is all because the globalists are seizing power. So they use these crises for their own benefit so they could take over. Bill Gates is the number one private owner of farms in America. He's buying it up. Bill Gates he's definitely on the road to help the beast and the Antichrist. He's really one. Fauci's another one. That devil ought to be shot in a firing squad, in my opinion, on a legal trial because of what he did. Because there's pestilence, which are pandemics. There's famine that they're using. And then the fourth seal, well, that's the third seal, so let's break that. Here goes one. You ready? Here goes another seal. We're going to break it. All right, here we go. There's the third one. Getting ready for the wrath of God. And now let's break the fourth one. And so in heaven, remember, all this is done in heaven. Then the fourth seal is broken. All right? And when the fourth seal is broken, you're getting close to the wrath of God. And now you're coming all the way up to the beginning of sorrows, which takes place in the first 3.5 years. So all these seals, these four seals, or these four horses are the beginning of sorrows. And here, you have a pale horse. So you've got death by wild beasts. You say, well, what is the death by wild beasts? Only thing I can think of, and I don't know this is so, gain of function research on animals, like bats, monkeys, wild animals. They're using these animals to spread pandemics. And then they're coming up with spike protein-laced jabs that you should never take to kill people more. So more people, there are people killed by COVID, you know, Corona SARS-2, clone of a virus. A lot of people died from that. But more people died from their jabs. More people died from their jabs and will die. So this causes death by beasts of the earth. Fauci's using beasts of the earth to launch bioweapons. That's why he should be shot, in my opinion, through a trial, not by some assassin, by a trial. And it should be done. It should get capital punishment on that wicked little devil. And Bill Gates is just as much. He's got the patent on the vaccine. If you took a jab, don't take another one. If you took two, don't take three. If you took all four, God help you, I'll pray for you. You were very foolish to do that. I warned you not to do it. I have people tell me, don't preach about this. I'll tell them, I'll preach the Bible. This is warning people, and I will warn people. And so, and this could be used to win people to Christ. And so, these things are going to happen. Earthquakes. What kind of earthquakes? In diverse places at the same time. During this world war, these Western globalists, they've already developed weapons. They can shoot radiation into the earth and cause great earthquakes. They can also move hurricanes to hit red states. They're already doing this, friends. They are so powerful, these globalists. And they control the governments. They're under their sorcery power. And who are they allied with? They're allied with Satan. So anyway, that's going to happen. And that will bring them to the place where the Jewish Antichrist now is in Jerusalem. And the beast has conquered the whole world. And he is going to then have an image or a hologram or some kind of image of the beast, the Gentile ruler, in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Why is he doing that? Because religion is causing too much trouble. He didn't come there primarily to break the covenant. He came there to keep the covenant that his empire would be kept together and the Jewish people would be protected and all these other people. But he's doing it by making himself God. And he's going to promote evolution. He's going to say, you can be God too. We're all gods. You know, I'm just more highly evolved than you. And so that will then bring us to this. And that brings us That brings us to the fifth seal. So let's break the fifth seal. You ready? All right.
No.
What's you're not ready for it? I don't know if my fingernails are going to get it here. Let's get it. Come on. Come on. Fifth seal. I'm getting impatient. You know, Jesus will be able to break these with no trouble. Pastor Bloom, I'm not worthy. So, what's that? I need something. So anyway, this fifth seal is, now I'm getting it, it's broken imperfectly. Jesus will do it perfectly. But anyway, this fifth seal is broken. And when it's broken, what is this going to unleash? Does anybody know? Diane? Oh, thank you. Yeah. My son-in-law's grandpa told him at his wedding when he married my daughter, he gave him a knife. He said, a real man is never without one of these. So you're not looking at it. All right, go ahead.
Unleash the martyrs.
Yeah, unleash the martyrs. So that's in Revelation 6. In Revelation 6, who has that scripture about the martyrs under the altar? You got it in Revelation 6? Well, let's go there. Revelation 6, I want to get you there. It says, and verse 9, and when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So how long is this going to take? How long? Well, we only have two seals left. They're being killed in the middle of the 70th week. They're in heaven. Their souls are in heaven under the altar of God, which is an altar because there is a temple in heaven. And they're crying out in heaven, how much longer, Lord? How much longer are you going to put? Now, the Bible says in Matthew 24 that except God cuts this tribulation short that's launched by the two beasts, that no flesh would be saved. When he's talking about no flesh would be saved, what flesh is he referring to? No flesh would be saved, Matthew 24, in the context, huh?
Unsaved people.
Actually, not unsaved, but what?
Saved.
Saved people. People that don't take the mark. The reason why no flesh would be saved is this is not the wrath of God. This great tribulation is the wrath of Satan. Satan is killing everybody that won't go along with the globalists. That's why you see Nancy Pelosi and these globalists, how wicked they are. You know, we'll kill them. If you see them in a restaurant, Maxine Waters, let's get them. You know, why is that? They're filled with hatred. It's Satan. They're filled with devils. They're filled with devils. And once they take the mark of the beast, they can't be saved. Listen to me. They can't even be saved once they take the mark of the beast. And so they're the devils. And I believe we should be witnessing for Christ and willing to give our life or God will protect us. But don't even try to witness to people that have the mark. They can't get saved. So you go to people that don't have it. So all of the elect will be, if it wasn't for the elect, all flesh would be killed by the beast, all elect flesh, unless the Lord stops it. And he will stop it. Now, what will stop it? Here it is. This will stop it. Oh, that's so much easier. Even then, it's hard, but that's easier. These seals are tough. What stops it then? What stops it then is the breaking of the sixth seal. So let's see what happens in the breaking of the sixth seal. By the way, this is in Matthew 24 as well. But let's go to Revelation chapter 6. And here we go here. It says, and verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig. Now, that doesn't mean the stars literally fall on the earth, but it looks like that. The stars are falling, everything's becoming black in the sky. And it says every mountain and island were moved out of their places by the earthquake. Now, according to Luke, and if you look at Luke in chapter, I believe it's 21, and you don't have to go there right now, but Luke chapter 21, what's going to happen in Luke 21, 25 through 28? Well, this earthquake is going to cause what? What would an earthquake cause in the ocean? Soze? Tsunamis. That's why the islands will be covered by these tsunamis. And in Luke 21, it says that when we see that sixth seal, we know if we're still alive, we know that there's going to be no more martyring of saints that don't take the mark because God stopped it. He's causing the grid to go down, the electrical grid. Nobody will be able to see. It'll be like night, you know. And when we see that, we'll know that's the end of the world. This is the end of the world now because God's going to pour out his wrath. It's just before his wrath. And so what do the people do in Luke 21? When the people of the world that took the mark, when they see this happening, and if you don't get saved, you'll take the mark. And when you see that happening, it says they're going to run and hide. They're going to be afraid. They're going to mourn. They're going to realize their kingdom is short, man. It's less than 3.5 years. It's cut short. They're going to really mourn. And the Bible says when they see those tsunamis and the waves roaring, they're going to have myocardial infarctions. You know what that is? Heart attacks. Heart attack. So you know, we have a lot of, you know, Western diet. People are going to die of heart attacks right then. But what about God's people? What are we going to do according to Luke 21, 25? What's that, Cherry?
Laugh at them.
Behave yourself. What?
That's what she said. Laugh at
them. Laugh at them. What? Huh? Yeah, he says, look up. You're redeemed. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look up because Matthew 24 says everything's going to get dark. But then we're going to see a light shining from the east to the west across the sky right after this darkness. So we're going to look up. So this is what is happening. God has told you exactly what's going to happen in the last 7 years and all about these seals. Now, we still have one seal left. We didn't open the seventh seal, right? We only have six. When is the seventh? This is Revelation 6 we're studying. When is the seventh seal going to be open? What chapter in Revelation? Does anybody know? Diane? Chapter 8. In chapter 7, we're going to study that next week. If you'll come back, bring friends because you could get points. First-time visitors. They have to be first-time visitors. Come here. We're going to study Revelation 7. In Revelation 7, it's going to tell you what's going to happen between the sixth and seventh seal. Because the seventh seal is chapter 8. What's going to happen? Very important. All right? All right. You're dismissed. See you next week.
And we get to run on the seventh, right?
What's that?
I said we're going to run on the seventh.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I figure John's got it. He's the real man here. Yeah.
So how was your plane?
Huh?
How was the flight?
How was the flight? It was good. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you something. You look good in a cowboy hat.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah, I saw that.
What, she put it on Facebook? Did she put it on Facebook? That's funny. That's funny.
It's like, Pastor looks good with a cowboy hat.
If it's a real big cowboy hat, that was a big one.
How was Luke on the plane?
He was great. He loved it. First time he ever flew?
Yeah, I saw that.
He really loved it. He was thinking.
That's how I was when Paul was out, or when David was out in Mississippi.
Yes.
It was my first time riding a plane.
Yes.
And I tell you what, I loved it.
And you loved it? That's cool. That is so cool. Good to see you, girl. What's that?
You know Harold.
Can't hear you.
Carol.
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 Who?
Harold.
Harold?
Yeah.
Harold Cameron?
Yeah.
You know him?
Yeah, he was supposed to help me with that.
He was going to come in, but his roommate was sick all night with a toothache and a headache. So I don't know if he's going to make it, but he might come to church, but he didn't make it to Sunday school. Oh, okay, he's upstairs.